Welcome back to our series called Living Stones. Scripture says that we are all like living stones of faith, all stones that God uses to build up a spiritual church, a spiritual house for His glory. And this house just keeps growing and growing through the years, the decades, and the centuries as more and more living stones are added to it. And over time, this spiritual house that God is building with us as living stones starts to look more and more like the kingdom of God on earth. Today I want to talk with you about you will not be left out. You know, there's been a lot of times in my life when I have felt left out, excluded, overlooked. Growing up, I was kind of nerdy. I was a bookworm. I really loved school and enjoyed learning. I liked my teachers and had a few close friends, but I wasn't very popular. During lunch and recess, all the other kids would play kickball on the field, but I mainly stayed on the sidelines. I wasn't very good at sports, and I was always picked to be last on the team. That didn't feel very good. I felt left out, so I just kind of stayed out. And there have been other times in my life when I've felt like I was on the outside of things looking in. Now, maybe you're the opposite of me. Popular, well-liked, part of the in crowd, always invited to dinner parties and other engagements. You're the natural charismatic person. Everybody wants to be around you. They just naturally congregate around you and are interested in what you have to say. But I wonder if there have been times when you also have felt left out, ignored, forgotten about. I'm sure there has been a time when someone, you know, just dissed you or snubbed you. They underestimated your value. They discounted your skills and abilities. They misjudged your potential. Maybe you were passed over at work. You didn't get that promotion. And you're feeling left out, you're feeling warehoused, or like your talents aren't being used, you're not being put to good use. Or you were not included in that social media group chat when all the other moms in your kids' class were. Or you weren't selected to be on that board or team or committee that you really wanted to be a part of. Or you didn't get the award that you kept trying to earn. Someone else got it. Or one day your best friend comes over and says, "Hey, that party on Saturday night was so great, wasn't it?" Slip of the tongue, because it becomes obvious that you were not invited. Awkward moment. It's natural to get upset, to get sour and kind of feel put off when you're not included in things. Being excluded hurts. It's painful, but the one place that you will never be left out of, the one club others cannot exclude you from, is the kingdom of God. The spiritual house that God is building here with us as His living stones is open and welcome to all who want to be here. In the seminary, one of our professors was known for something he would often say in the classroom. When he asked us questions and one of us got it wrong, delivered the wrong answer, instead of telling the misguided student that he was just wrong, this professor would say, "Well, you're not far from the kingdom of God." It was sort of a way of saying, "Well, you're close, but no cigar." Now, this is exactly what Jesus said in the gospel story for today. He had been battling with the Pharisees and the other religious leaders. It was a knockdown, drag-out fight that had already gone 4 rounds. They questioned his authority, tried to trip him up on a couple of controversial issues. Jesus responded by comparing them to some wicked farmers who were trying to steal the land belonging to the owner. It was brutal. But then one of the scribes who had been listening to all of this came up to Jesus to ask him a question. Now, scribes in those days were experts at interpreting the law. They were basically lawyers who studied and applied the law of God. The Old Testament was very detailed and specific. It had a lot of requirements in it, and so to understand it took great knowledge and learning. For that reason, scribes were held in high regard in that time. The scribe in the story seemed sincere. He asked Jesus, which of all of the commandments in the law of Moses is most important? It was a frequently asked question in those days back then because the law had all these specific obligations, things you had to do, very narrow responsibilities you had to take care of, a lot of technicalities. So you would think that the answer that the scribe would give would be just like that, very legalistic. But it was very important in those times to step back from the law for just a moment and keep in mind the bigger picture. What was most important? Well, Jesus answered that question. Love God and love your neighbor. Simple. The scribe was very complimentary to Jesus. He praised him in front of the whole crowd and all the other religious leaders. He said to Jesus, "You are right in saying that God is one and there is no other than He, and that to love Him with all of your heart, all of your understanding, all your strength, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important. It's worth more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." And what's interesting is that scribes were experts at the very detailed requirements. They were highly skilled at defining the detailed requirements of all those sacrifices in the temple and how all those burnt offerings and sacrifices that were described in the various statutes in the law of Moses would actually be carried out in practice by the priests. They were very learned in all of this. So you would think that maybe the scribe himself, if he were to answer this question, would come up with a more legalistic answer. But he actually agreed with Jesus. He said, loving God and loving other people is more important than any of these other things, more important than any rule or regulation. Now, it seemed that the scribe had hit the nail on the head. Jesus saw that he answered with understanding. End of story, right? No. Jesus came back with something else. He said to the scribe, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." Like my professor, he was saying, "You're almost there, but not quite. You're in the ballpark, but you can do better. You're so close, but yet at the same time, still so far away." Why would Jesus say to the scribe that he was not far from the kingdom of God? Why wouldn't he say that he's in the kingdom? It's because the scribe was not a disciple of Jesus yet. It's as if Jesus were saying, "You got the right answer. You get an A for your insight and your intellect, but you need to take a closer look because the kingdom of God is standing right in front of you. Come follow me, and then you will be in the kingdom." You'll be in the kingdom. This is the same invitation that every person, that all of us here, you and I, receive to follow Jesus and to follow him more closely. Scripture says that Jesus is our great high priest in heaven. He's always praying for us to move closer to God, to get more and more into the kingdom, to accept that invitation. There were a lot of earthly priests in those days. They would offer animal sacrifices in the temple for the forgiveness of sins, but the effects were only temporary. No matter how hard they tried, no matter how many sacrifices they offered, no matter how many burnt offerings they offered, there was still this big gap between God and the people that he loved because of their sinfulness. It seemed like a gap that would be impossible to close. And to make things worse, as the second reading tells us, all of these earthly priests one day would die, only to be replaced by others who would do the same thing. It seemed like this big machine that just kept going and going and going, but actually didn't go anywhere. But Hebrews says that Jesus is a different kind of priest. He is our great high priest. He is higher than the heavens. He is holy and innocent himself. He is eternal. And because he remains forever, he has a priesthood. Jesus has a priesthood that will not pass away. He also doesn't offer the blood of bulls and goats to forgive our sins. He sacrificed himself once and for all to bring us everlasting forgiveness. And because of that, the second reading today says that he is always able to save those who approach God through him. Always able to save those who approach God through him. That's the beautiful thing about Christ. Now, because of Jesus, because of what he has done, because he is our great high priest, Hebrews chapter 4 says, we can confidently approach the throne of grace. We can draw near to God. That gap has finally been closed. We no longer have to stand outside the kingdom looking in. We're not just allowed to come close to the kingdom. We don't have to settle for being not far from the kingdom, like we're in the ballpark but have to sit in the bleachers section. No, we can now be in the kingdom. In the kingdom. That's what Christ did for us. We can be in his kingdom. We'll never know whether that scribe actually accepted the invitation to follow Jesus. The passage ends abruptly by saying no one dared to ask him any more questions. But all that scribe would have had to do is open the door and walk through. And it's the same for all of us. We are all invited more and more into that kingdom. We are invited to get more and more into that kingdom. And no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter where you come from, you will not be left out if you choose to follow Jesus. One of the benefits of being a priest is that people are often very nice to me. Not always, but very often they're nice to me. They take me out to nice dinners. They invite me over to their homes. And I even have access to a couple of private clubs to play golf, which is always a disaster, but also to exercise and work out in, which seems to go better. But these private clubs have long waiting lists. They have high initiation fees I could never afford. Monthly membership payments I could never make. I don't deserve it. I'm no one special. I didn't ask for it. I certainly didn't earn the right, but I am very grateful for these opportunities. Here's my point. The kingdom of God is just like this. We can't afford it. We certainly haven't earned it, and we don't deserve it. But the Lord invites us in anyway. He waives the entrance fees, covers all the charges. Covers all the charges. This is the kind of spiritual house you and I, as living stones, are building here. A house for God where everyone is welcome, where everyone can be welcome, where everyone can belong if they want to be here. Our vision statement at St. Hilary Church, we have a vision of what we want to be. It is to become a community growing in faith, we're doing that, where everyone loves to belong. More and more we're doing that too. A place where everyone wants to belong. A place where everyone will be warmly embraced and deeply loved. A lot of people stay away from church because they think they will be judged or feel unwanted. But practically every Sunday, I talk to people who are new to this community. And they tell me they will keep coming back because they felt accepted by you. And they were enfolded in the love of God. Here in this spiritual house we are building. I have a question for you this morning. Don't take this the wrong way, but I think it's good for us to think about it this week. Are you not far from the kingdom of God, or are you actually in it? Is your faith close but no cigar? Or have you chosen to fully step through that door Christ opens for every person on the planet? Jesus loves everyone. He loves you. He defeated sin and death on the cross. Every day he is working for our salvation as our great high priest, praying for us, inviting us to keep coming more and more into that kingdom. He keeps praying for us to come into that kingdom. And when we accept that invitation, when we do our best every day to just try to love God and love other people as best we can, even when it's hard, when we strive to make little baby steps in our faith life, to maybe pray a little bit more, or join a ministry, or try a small group, or give a little more generously, or share our faith when the opportunity presents itself, when we try to go deeper in our discipleship little by little, then we are coming into the kingdom. We're not just close to it. And you will never be excluded from that kingdom. Because there is no private door, no secret knock or handshake you have to learn, no VIP status you have to achieve, no velvet ropes you have to get across to be with the beautiful people in God's kingdom. No, when you give your life to Christ, when you make a commitment to follow Him, to receive His grace in the sacraments, to accept His teachings, and just to try every day to grow in faith and love and hope and all those good things, then you will be more and more in His kingdom. And you will never be left out of this spiritual house that God is building. And all you have to do to begin that journey or to continue on it is to say yes to God every day. I'd like to give you the opportunity right now to say yes to God. Would you pray with me? Just say, Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins. Come into my heart. I make you my Lord and Savior. Amen.